Good morning, church. It's good to be with you. Thanks for taking some time to join us as we look into God's Word. Last week, we talked about what it means to wait on the Lord. I think this was such an important thing for us to realize and just recognize as a community why it's important for us to wait on the Lord. And we talked about that last week. We don't want to merely be making decisions based upon our own wisdom or insight. We really want God to be the one that's directing us, right? Because God knows what's best. He sees what's coming even when we don't. And so this means that He knows what's best. And as we seek Him, we can begin to get the plan. We can begin to tap into how He's leading us and where He's leading us to go. Some of you are facing some big decisions right now. And I thought it would be helpful to do a part two to what we talked about last week, Waiting on the Lord, part two. I want to look more at what is our role as we're waiting. We talked about this a little bit last week. What are we supposed to do? But specifically this week, I want to look at how do we know when the Lord wants us to move, right? Like, we know that we're supposed to wait on the Lord, but how do we know when or if we're supposed to go forward? What is that supposed to look like? And so this morning, I just really want to remind us of some truths that we find from Scripture, things that we can hold tightly to when we're faced with making decisions. And just three things, and inside of those three things, there'll be some other points as well. But first thing is that we want to seek out God's wisdom. Okay? When we're waiting on God to give us direction, we want to seek out God's wisdom. The second thing is we want to be open to receive godly counsel. And lastly, we want to let the Holy Spirit lead us. Okay? First things, seek out God's wisdom. For those of you in this season of waiting on the Lord, maybe there's a decision that you need to make. You're trying to figure out what school to get into. You're trying to figure out a family situation, just this tension that you're trying to resolve. Work stuff comes up. I mean, there's a countless list of things that come up that we're like, we need guidance and direction in. First thing is that we want to seek out God's wisdom. Okay. We recognize that we don't have the answers in and of ourselves. Of course, we could think of something. We could come up with the best solution that we could think of. That's always an option. But it's always better, I found, to seek out God's wisdom. The scripture is clear, not to lean on our own understanding, but to trust in the Lord with all of our hearts, to acknowledge Him. So that means that we want to seek out God's wisdom. How do we do this? You know this, through prayer, right? We've talked about this before, but prayer is a big way that we seek out God's wisdom. Listen to what James chapter 1, verse 5 says. James says this, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him." James is saying, hey, are you lacking wisdom today? Are you in need of some insight into your situation? He says, ask God. Ask in faith. And God will give you wisdom. You might not hear, you know, a certain word that God gives you, or you might pray and you say, well, I feel like nothing's happening when I'm praying. But listen, you got to trust that God is moving, that God is granting to you that wisdom as you're praying. Sometimes He gives you the wisdom to decide, to make a decision, the insight you need to go forward with a certain decision as you pray. We also receive wisdom through the Word. Proverbs 2, verse 6 through 8 says this, "For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of His saints." Okay, we get God's wisdom by asking for it. But we also get God's wisdom through the Word, right? It says, "Come from His mouth come knowledge and understanding." Okay, so the Lord speaks to us through His Word. It says He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. This is an amazing thing we see here in Scripture. The Word of God is, it's a treasure trove of wisdom. And this kind of leads to another thing, like, it's very helpful for us to learn and understand, to grow in our understanding of biblical principles, right? There are certain biblical principles, things that we see in the Bible, principles about life. Many of them are in Proverbs, but throughout Scripture, we see certain things, how life is to operate. And what we do is we read those things in Scripture and we apply them to our lives and the decisions that we make, we can apply these things. And I think this is a skill that we need to learn, right? The more we're in the Word, the more the Word is dwelling in us, the better we'll be able to decipher and make these decisions when they come. Understanding biblical principles allows us to navigate through the tough decisions of life. You might not have it in the Bible, right? You might be thinking like, well, who should I marry? Or which school should I go to? The Bible might not specifically say that. It probably won't. But what it will give you is biblical principles. Well, when you're thinking about a school, okay, you're thinking about your program. You're thinking about, you know, is this a place where I could thrive in my relationship with Christ? Is this a place, is this school known for good things? Do I have a connection there? Is there a community that I could get rooted into there? You're thinking about who you're going to marry. Are they a believer in Christ? Are you guys equally yoked? Some of these biblical principles will help guide you in making some of these big decisions. Wisdom will also lead you to walk in integrity, right? We see that mentioned there in Proverbs 2. It says that the Lord is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of his saints. We see this echoed throughout the Proverbs, the importance of living a life of integrity. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 3 says this, "The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them." Listen to what that says. The integrity of the upright will guide them. If we are flirting with sin, if we have areas in our lives that we're caving into sin, that's going to cloud our vision. That's going to cloud the direction that we're receiving from the Lord, because one of the ways that the Lord leads us is through living a righteous life. I think for those of you who are, your vision is clouded right now, I think if there's something in your life where you're like, you know what, I'm living in this constant pattern of sin, I think the Lord is calling you to say, hey, come and confess that to me. Like, he'll forgive you. He'll wash you clean. There's been times in my life where this has happened. I'm like, okay, there's a big barrier to me being led by God because I have this certain sin in my life. And when I finally come clean to the Lord, it's amazing. He lifts that load off of me. He speaks to me. He directs me. But sometimes that sin is in the way of us hearing from the Lord. Seek out God's wisdom. But also, secondly, we want to be open to receive godly counsel. Okay? Wisdom means that we're not just learning from our life experiences, although that's good. We want to learn from the Word of God, and that's great. But we also want to learn from the experience of other people and the wisdom that they have from in the Word in their relationship with God, right? Proverbs 15, verse 22 says this, "Without counsel, plans go awry, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established." We see this throughout Proverbs. There's other places where it says, in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Okay? We need to be open to receive godly counsel from people who love the Lord. Guys, I can't stress this enough. We talk about this often, but man, there's just so many big decisions that I've made. Whether it's about my career, who I'm going to marry, when I should move, where I should move. There are so many big decisions that I can look back on and say, wow, you know what? The people of God played a pivotal role in that process, in my decision-making process. doesn't mean I always have to listen in whatever, you know, whatever someone says. It just means like that's a great resource. Like sometimes they are seeing something that I'm not seeing. Sometimes they can give me insight that I don't have in that moment. Think about how different your life would be if you didn't have the insight of believers in your life. I know for me, I would be in a tough spot. But the Lord is so good to provide us with brothers and sisters in the church who can speak into our situations and give us guidance. The Lord will oftentimes give us confirmation regarding a certain direction to take, right? If you're thinking about a decision that you have, you're like, man, like I really like want to know. This is such a big thing. I really need some confirmation on this. The Lord is so good, and I found that He's so faithful to give us that confirmation at times. I haven't had this every time, every big decision I've made. But I would say sometimes even afterward, I'll receive a confirmation and be like, okay, this is amazing. God is letting me know this is the right path. I'm on the right path. This can come in a variety of ways. You might hear a sermon. You might be reading a book. Something might pop out at you. Then someone might say something and it might go in line with what you heard or what you read. You're like, man, I think God's speaking to me. I think He's wanting to encourage me to go along this path. That might be the Lord confirming His word to you. If you're married, right? And if your spouse has, you know, a certain view of something and you guys are having a big decision you're wanting to make, maybe you guys are on different pages. I think oftentimes the Lord will confirm His word to us, like He'll bring us on the same page. Or if someone's like, you know what, I just don't feel good about you going forward with that decision, then what we want to do is wait, right? The person who's wanting to go forward needs to wait on the Lord, pray, and trust that if this is the direction that God wants us to go, God will change my spouse's heart. And if not, then I trust that we will just wait in this spot. We won't go forward until we both feel good about it. I think this is something that's helped Natalie and I in our marriage. Sometimes we're both trying to discern what is the Lord leading us to do in this season or with a certain decision. And sometimes, most of the time, I feel like we're on the same page, but every once in a while, we might be on different pages or we might feel differently. And in those times, we just trust the Lord. We pray and seek the Lord and we give it time. And we come back and say, okay, like how are you feeling about this? And I think it's amazing to see how God will oftentimes just bring us to that place of saying, okay, like, yes, we're going to go forward, or no, I think we should wait. But I think the Lord is so good to do that, right? And for those of you facing some of these big decisions, I would just encourage you to seek the Lord. Like, some of you might be strong-willed. You might want to plow ahead and be like, no, we're doing this thing. I would just encourage you, wait for your spouse. Wait till God gives you that confirmation. Wait till He puts you on the same page. I think it's going to do wonders for the marriage, and it's really going to grow your relationship with the Lord and with each other in the future. And the last thing we'll talk about here is we want to let the Holy Spirit lead us. Okay? We want to seek out God's wisdom, be open to receive godly counsel. But we want to let the Holy Spirit lead us. We see in Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Listen to this verse. It says this, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." These are the children of God. Okay, so all believers in Christ have the Holy Spirit residing inside of them. The Holy Spirit leads us into what God has for us. Right? He leads us on the right path. And so like when you're faced with certain decisions, just know this, like if you're a believer in Christ, the Holy Spirit is leading you. If your desire is to walk in what God has for your life, know that the Holy Spirit wants to come alongside and help you in that. Okay? You're not just on your own. You have a helper. I love the verses in Psalm 23. Verses 1 and 3 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Right? The Lord is my shepherd. That means that He's the one that's leading me. He's the Lord of my life. I'm like a sheep. And if you know sheep, sheep are dumb. They need a lot of help. The good news for us, I love this picture. We are his sheep. He is our shepherd. He is the one that leads us. Goes on in part of verse 3, it says, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The Lord is so good to lead us in the paths of righteousness, right? He's the one that's leading us there, you guys. We're not just trying to figure it out. God is the one paving a way for us. He says, for his name's sake. It's not just for your sake that God's leading you. It's actually for his sake. It's his glory. It's his renown that's on the line. His name. And that's an encouraging thing. God leads us in the right path for his name's sake. Now, sometimes that path might look different, right? As Psalm 23 goes on, it says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Sometimes the paths of righteousness, they end up in the valley of the shadow of death. And you're like, man, is this really where God's leading me? And sometimes God does lead us there. It's not always the mountaintop that we're on with God. It's sometimes the valleys, the valley of the shadow of death. Some of you have experienced this. Some of you have had loved ones pass away. You've had certain health issues. You've had certain disappointments in your relationship with God, with others. And you need to know this, that God is with you. In your darkest of days, God does not abandon you. He has ordained the path for you to go on. The highs and the lows, the rivers and the valley of the shadow of death. But the psalmist says, you know what, even though I go there, I will not fear, for you are with me. The Holy Spirit's with you in that. His presence is with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. He will not abandon you. And so for those of you who are discouraged right now, you feel like God's not coming through for you, I want to encourage you that God is with you, that he's for you, that he gave his life for you. So in those times of questioning, of wondering, when is he going to come through? Remind yourself of the cross. Remind yourself of his love for you, that he didn't spare his own son, but he gave him up for us all freely. And so if he's given us his son, how will he withhold any good thing from us? Trust the Lord. Trust that he has you in this process for a reason, that he's working in you, that he's conforming you more into the image of his son. It's often through the trials of life that he does this. Sometimes the Holy Spirit leads us by giving us some sort of impression. Okay? Maybe you've been hit with this before. Maybe he lays something heavy on your heart. He might bring someone or something to mind all of a sudden. He might lay someone on your heart to call. And maybe that person has a word for you of wisdom that you need to hear in that moment. This is so cool when it happens, when God just speaks through someone, he lays someone on our heart, we reach out, and that person just gives us a word that we need to hear. Sometimes the Holy Spirit leads us in this way. The Holy Spirit also opens up doors for us. What do I mean by this? The Holy Spirit opens up opportunities for us. He kind of opens up a door and paves the way for us to go through. Right? Sometimes we're trying to kind of break down a door. It feels like, man, just, I feel like I'm trying to break this door down. Like God's not opening it, so I'm trying to break it down. But the scripture is clear that God is able to open up doors that no one can shut. He does this in our lives by giving us opportunities and showing us, hey, I'm opening this thing up. Go through it. Listen to what happened to Paul in 1 Corinthians 16. Verses 8 and 9, he says this. It's at the end of the letter, and he says this, but I will tarry in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great and effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. Paul is telling the church his plan. He's closing up his letter. He's saying, hey, but I'm going to wait in Ephesus until Pentecost. That's his plan, right? Why? Because he says a great and effective door has opened to me. Somehow Paul was able to discern the opportunity that God was giving him. It might have been through the circumstances that were happening. Maybe people were being receptive to the Lord. There was favor that was resting upon him in the church. There were some reasons, somehow Paul was able to discern that there was a great and effective door that the Lord had opened for him. And he says at the end there that there are many adversaries, right? Just because God opens up a door for you, it doesn't mean that it won't be met with opposition. There might even be more opposition. You might say, man, I feel like God is leading me to this certain decision or this certain direction in my life, and yet I'm being hit with a lot of opposition. It very well could be that God is still opening up that door. Doesn't mean that it's a closed door. It just means that there's opposition because God is going to do a great work as you go that direction. And we need the help of the Holy Spirit to discern if this is what God is doing in our lives. Paul says again in 2 Corinthians 2, verse 12, when I came to the city of Troas to preach the good news of Christ, the Lord opened a door of opportunity for me. Okay, so he's like, man, I came to this city and the Lord just opened up this door of opportunity for me. But then look what he says. He says, but I had no peace of mind because my dear brother Titus hadn't yet arrived with a report from you. So I said goodbye and went on to Macedonia to find him. Okay, listen to what he's saying here. The Lord opened up a door of opportunity for me. But I didn't have any peace. I had no peace of mind. Why? Because Timothy hadn't yet come. And so God sometimes leads us through open doors. But this peace is really important. And this is an important part of the picture. God leads us by giving us his peace. Listen to what he says in Colossians 3, verse 15. Paul says, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Okay? God will lead us with his peace. This is a fruit of the Spirit. And that word there, it's like, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. It's almost like, let the peace of Christ be the umpire, be the one that calls the shots. When you don't have peace about a certain direction or decision you're making, that might be a sign that God is saying, hey, pump the brakes a little bit. Don't go forward with this decision or in this direction. God's peace leads us, right? Like, I think occasionally we're going to have anxiety or we'll have some stress. But if the tone and tenor of your life is, hey, I really don't have peace about this decision, the good thing to do might be to pump the brakes, to recognize that the Lord is leading you somewhere else or to something else. We see that the Lord opens doors for us, but he also closes doors, okay? This should free us up a little bit. So we don't want to be paralyzed by fear of making a mistake. Like, what if I hear God wrong? What if I make the wrong decision? It's so good to know that the Holy Spirit is able to lead us away from the wrong path. He's able to redirect us. There's a situation that happened in Acts 16. Paul is on his missionary journey. And I just want to read this passage because I think it's so applicable for us. It says this, and when they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia, period. And when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. Notice what's happening here. I mean, think about it. Okay, God gave us the Great Commission. Go into all the world, preach the gospel, make disciples. And that is exactly what Paul and his associates are doing. And yet, it says that they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. They go into another place. It says, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. We don't know exactly what this looked like. What does it mean that the Holy Spirit forbid them to speak there? That the Spirit of Jesus didn't allow them? We're not sure. We're not sure if it was circumstantially, it just didn't work out for them. Maybe the Lord spoke to someone. Maybe there was someone in the church that gave them a word and said, hey, don't go down there. We're not exactly sure how it happened. We're just sure that it did happen. And for you and I, we can be sure that the Holy Spirit is able to lead us. When we make a wrong turn, He's able to redirect us. It's not the end of the story. It's not the end of the world if you take a wrong turn. Because notice, the Lord redirected them to a different place, to Macedonia. It says in verse 9, "And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.' And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go on into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them." So notice, God closed a door for Paul and the brothers, but then He redirected them to an open door. There was an open door that God wanted them to go to. There was this man in Macedonia who needed to hear the gospel, and they were going to come and bring it to him. I want to encourage you to keep going forward in your life with Christ. Don't grow discouraged. As some of you are waiting upon the Lord right now, there's big decisions that you're being faced with. Just know that the Holy Spirit is with you. He's leading you. That God's wisdom is available to you. That there is godly counsel around you. If you need help, if you just want to chat and have some prayer, you know, we would love to pray for you. We'd love to just give you some wisdom from the Word. We're here for you. We love you. We want God's best for you. Take heart, because the Lord will make His will known in His timing. Father, I pray that You would seal us up, God. I pray that You would help us to look to You, to trust You, to know that You make it very simple for us, God, to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto You. And so I just pray, God, that You would lift off our burdens, Lord, the anxiety that comes with having to make certain decisions. I know some of them are time sensitive. I pray, God, that You would allow us to rest in You, to be still and wait patiently for You, that You would speak to us through Your Word, that You give us wisdom as we pray, that You bring the right people in our lives that can give us those words, God, that direction, and that Your Holy Spirit would lead us in the right path, God. Thank You that You're with us, You're for us, and if God be for us, who can be against us? We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.